For those of you who want to follow along, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read only verse 33 right now, but I want you to keep a marker in this spot and we'll come back to it later. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How many of you are righteous? Raise your hand. Okay, I hope that I'll get a different response at the end. What does it mean to seek his righteousness? Well, in Greek, the word to seek that's used here in Matthew 6 is zeteo, Z-E-T-E-O. It's Strong's 22:12. It means to be about, to desire, to endeavor, to inquire for, to worship God in a good sense, or to plot against life in a negative sense. And the word for righteousness in Greek is dikaiosune, D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N-E, Strong's 13:43. It means to be just, the quality of being right, or in this case, conformity to the revealed will of God, to be in right standing with him. So when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it means endeavor, be about, desire to be in conformity to the revealed will of God. And to be in right standing with him. Now, in Romans 14 and verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." The kingdom of God is righteousness. And we're commanded to seek it. I'm going to look at Psalm 11, some verses that talk of righteousness from the Tanakh. Psalm 11, verses 4 and 5, and verse 7. "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness, and his countenance beholds the upright." So one reason to seek righteousness is that the Lord loves righteousness. He is righteous. I want the Lord to love me. And if I'm seen as righteous in his sight, I know he loves me because his word says that he loves righteousness. Psalm 85, verses 8 through 13. "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints." How many of you are saints? Okay. Everyone who says that they're a saint should also raise their hand when I ask if you're righteous, and I'll be explaining why in a moment. "But let them not turn back to folly." That means to seeking their own way, instead of seeking God's way and his kingdom and his righteousness. "Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land." If we want glory to dwell in our land again, we need to rekindle a healthy fear of the Lord in this country. Verse 10, "Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and shall make his footsteps our pathway." And just one more example, Psalm 97, verses 2, 6, 11, and 12. "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne," it says in verse 2. Verse 6, "The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples seek his glory. and verse 11, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright of heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. So it's good to be righteous. God loves the righteous. He commands us to seek his righteousness. We know that he's righteous. So how do we obtain righteousness? Let's look at Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, or not according to revelation or rhema that they get from the word of God. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Messiah is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So we have a righteousness that comes to us through faith. It's a gift of God, and it's not of ourselves or anything that we can do through works or through trying to fulfill the law. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of him, you who are in Messiah Yeshua, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, became for us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's because of him that we're seen by the Father as righteous and we have right standing with him. And it's because of him and our faith that he is who he says he is that God sees us as righteous. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. I'm sure many of you can quote this verse. For he, meaning the Father, made him, meaning Yeshua, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, God. Yeshua, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our righteousness is from God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, I'll start. Knowing that a man is not justified or made righteous by the works of the law, but by faith in Yeshua the Messiah, even we have believed in Messiah Yeshua, that we might be justified by faith in Messiah and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified or made righteous. But if, while we seek to be justified by Messiah, we ourselves are found sinners, is Messiah therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not, says the Apostle Paul. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, or separated myself from the law, that I might live to God, or that I may be connected in my life to God. I have been crucified with Messiah. It is no longer I who live, but Messiah lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes even Yeshua the Messiah was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? He's going on to tell them, you know, where they stand in their faith and what Messiah has done for them. Verse 5, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. You're not a son of Abraham by birth. In the spiritual kingdom of God, you're a son of Abraham by faith in Yeshua. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith is a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, and it literally means the righteous person, in or by his faithfulness, which is his firmness of belief, his faith, his steadfastness, shall live. The righteous person, in or by his faithfulness, shall live. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Messiah has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles and Messiah Yeshua, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that promise is that he became righteousness for us, even though he knew no sin. He became sin for us so that we could have the righteousness of God in him. Now let's look at Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified or made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now that means that because we have access to grace through our own righteousness, that we will see outward manifestations of God's character entering into our own lives. How many of you want outward manifestations of the character of God in your life? I know I do. Praise the Lord for that. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength or helpless, in due time Messiah died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Remember that the people who aren't saved in this world on the day of judgment are going to be exposed to the wrath of God. And we are saved from the wrath through Yeshua. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Praise God. Now, verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Yeshua the Messiah. So how many would like to reign in this life? Okay, if you want to reign in life, it says in this scripture, Romans 5:17, you must receive two things, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. You are made righteous by God. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Yes. Praise God for your grace. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. If you want to reign in this life, you have to receive two things, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness from God. Yes. Now, I always like to see a couple things that Yeshua says himself. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now in this case, justified is a legal term signifying to acquit, to declare righteous, or to show to be righteous. And Jesus is referring to the day of judgment, the day where he will determine condemnation or justification based on each person's heart and how they respond to the Spirit of God and what they've heard. Now, if we go back to Matthew 6, where we started, it's verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles or the non-believers seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, I confess that there are times when I worry about things and circumstances in my life. I know that a lot of you do, probably all of you. But Yeshua is saying, why are you worrying? Your Father knows you need these things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Because if you're righteous in the sight of God, then you're an heir to his kingdom. And a kingdom is different than a democracy. In the kingdom, the king owns everything, and he can give it to anybody he wants, anytime he wants to. Just like the prodigal son, when he came back from blowing his inheritance in the world, the father ran out to meet him and hugged him and kissed him and gave him the fatted calf and his ring. But the brother who'd been there the whole time said, you know, you never did that for me. And the father said, everything I have is yours. You've been here the whole time. You could have had it any time you want. Your Father in heaven loves you, but he doesn't want you to worry. Now, this is really critical, because Yeshua said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, and your words can condemn you. So I really, really want to urge everyone, myself included, to stop giving negative reports about our circumstances and start standing on what the Word of God says that we have in Messiah. Now, Derek Prince said, religion is due and biblical Christianity is done. When you get a revelation of done, then you'll do. Do you understand? Religion is teaching people that they have to go out and do things. Just like the legalists and the early Messianic Jews tried to teach the new believing Gentiles that they had to adopt the Torah and circumcision and rules of law in order to be Christians. But that wasn't true. Biblical Christianity is about what God has already done for you and having you take hold of that and make it manifest in your life. Religion is due, Christianity is done. When you get a revelation of what God has already done for you, that's when you'll really do something in his kingdom. That's what Derek Prince is saying. Let's see what, you know, the greatest theologian of all time, the Apostle Paul, said about this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins or condemned, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Verse 4. But God, two of the best words in all of Scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Messiah. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Yeshua the Messiah for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. From the very beginning, God ordained certain things that you would do. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every star in the sky, every grain of sand. You are his child, his workmanship, created in Messiah for good works, which God prepared beforehand. So why worry about it? Trust him. Let's look at one other wonderful letter from the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, starting in verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Messiah Yeshua, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He's giving his pedigree, his resume, all the reasons that he's more of a Pharisee, more of a Jew, more learned than any of the people that he's writing to. But verse 7, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Messiah. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Messiah and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So there it is again. We have a righteousness that's from God by faith. And why? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And then he goes on to say, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Yeshua the Messiah has also laid hold of me. Now, if we grab hold of this righteousness that's been freely given to us by God through faith, if we truly believe that he has ordained since before we were born good works that we should do, then what we need to do is just persist, hang in there, and eventually he'll change us from glory to glory until we look in the mirror and see his image reflecting back toward us. That's our destiny. And we can lay hold of that for which Yeshua, Jesus, laid hold of us. We can lay hold of it because it's promised.
That's right.
It's our destiny to someday know what those things are and to do them. Look at your life up until this very moment. Your destiny for today, in this hour, is to be here right now listening to me. It's true because that's what's happening. God ordains things. He's in charge. Whatever you did yesterday, that was your destiny for yesterday. Whatever you did last month was your destiny for last month. You may think that you made choices, you blew it, you did this or you did that, but God ordains everything. I don't want to get into, you know, divine providence and everything, but I want you to take this away. Why worry about these things? The Word of God instructs us not to worry. The Word of God tells us that he has ordained works for us to do. The Word of God says that we have a righteousness through faith in Yeshua that's a free gift of God, and that we can reign in this life if we receive an abundance of grace and get this gift of righteousness, we can reign in this life. And it says that the people who love their own lifestyle more than the Lord and what he offers have already condemned themselves because they chose their lifestyle over Yeshua. So God isn't condemning anyone. It's not his wish that anyone should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of Yeshua and that everyone should be saved. The people who wind up spending eternity in hell will have condemned themselves. We still need to try and reach everyone. I'm not saying that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When he is revealed, we shall be like him. And we'll see him as he is. In chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 17, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. And then in chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith is the thing that lays hold of righteousness and puts us in, so that God sees us as justified and in right standing with him. And our faith, now that John is saying, makes us a child of God. And as a child of God, we're inheritors of everything that he has in his kingdom. That's why we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, so that we can be inheritors. Do you think that the sons of royalty in European countries wake up worrying about what they're going to eat or what they're going to wear? They know that their parents own everything. Your heavenly Father owns everything. You can condemn yourself by getting into a habit of speaking worry all the time over circumstances and saying this is wrong and that's wrong in your life. Not ultimately, but out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Yeshua is going to judge each person by what he sees in their heart. Start speaking truth from the Word of God and stop speaking worry and complaint. Please, please. I beseech you, and I'm talking to myself because I'm guilty of this too. We need to clean up our act when it comes to what comes out of our mouth concerning our own life and our own circumstances. And then, as our guest last week, Terry Addison, said, if you're the only Jesus that some folks are ever going to see, let them see someone who's proclaiming the glory of God and not wanting for anything instead of someone who's complaining and moaning about their circumstances. I don't want to be a poor reflection of Yeshua to people that I meet. I'm sure you don't knowingly want to. But we can develop good habits to replace what may seem like bad habits. You can have affirmations that take the place of negative sayings. Every time you catch yourself thinking negatively, go right away to that affirmation that refutes it and make it be true from God's Word, and you can change the way you think and the way you speak. Last scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved at his appearing. Righteousness suggests conformity to the revealed will of God in all respects. God declares the believers, you and me, to be righteous in the sense that as ultimate judge, he acquits and imputes righteousness to us. And as we said in Romans 5:17, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in this life through Yeshua the Messiah. Praise God. Father, I pray that you will pour out abundant righteousness on each and every one of us, that you will give us the gift of righteousness, pour out your grace, and that when we persevere, we will finally lay hold of that for which you laid hold of us. And in the end, we will receive the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. Thank you, God. In Yeshua's name. Amen.